Christy and I have really come to enjoy our time here in Ashburn Hamm. We love the church. We love the town. We love our home and our neighbors. And it's been a blessing for us to be here. But I have one complaint about Ashburn Hamm. Where are all the streetlights? Coming from Eastern Mass, I never realized you had that little thing on your car that would turn on those blue lights, those high beams. But I find that you need them here in Ashburn Hamm a lot. I discovered this a couple months ago. I was going for a run. I like to run in the morning, and it was before sunrise, and it was a dark night, no sun, no moon or stars in the sky. And I went out and ran past Briggs Elementary and took a left up Turnpike Street. And about 100 yards up Turnpike, I realized that I could not see. Couldn't see the houses. There were no cars driving by. And it's hard to run when you can't see where you're putting your feet. And I continued on running very slowly, and I ended up going around, and I eventually sprained my ankle and ended up limping down the street, grateful that the sun had just started to come up so I could see, and there are a couple of streetlights on this street. But you know that feeling that when you're in the dark and you can't, maybe you're in a room and you can't find the light switch and you're just feeling around, how troubling that is, and causes a little bit of stress and anxiety when something like that happens? Well, as you can imagine, I'm not here today to talk about streetlights and light switches. But the passage we're going to look at today talks about light and darkness, and Jesus bringing light into a dark world. And we've kind of heard that in that song that we've just sung. And when you sing it, it's almost got a melancholy spirit to it. And it's talking to Israel. And Israel, in the time leading up to Jesus, was in a dark time. There had been no prophets. The last word of God up until that point had been spoken in the book of Malachi 400 years earlier. But today we're going to be looking at the book of John, which talks about the light coming into the world. And this is a little bit less used passage during the season of Advent. Normally you read it from Matthew and Luke. You read about the angels and the shepherds and the magi, the wise men in Bethlehem, and all those wonderful stories that we get about from the other books, other gospels. And those are great stories. Those books tell us what happened. They tell us how it happened. The book of John takes a different tack, though. The book of John tells us why it happened. The book of John tells us who Jesus is and why it is important that he came. So today we're going to look at those two questions as we read the first five verses of the book of John. Those two questions are, who is Jesus and why is it important that he came? So John chapter 1 verses 1 through 5 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." So this light that come into the world, Jesus, who is he? In this passage, he's called the Word. Now that seems like a strange thing to call Jesus. Why is he being called the Word? Well, there are a couple of reasons that John may have used this passage. The first of all being that he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words. But it was a term that would have been recognized very easily by both Jews and Greeks in that day. But I want you to think about the term word. How do we express ourselves to one another? Words. Through the written word, through the spoken word, we talk to one another. You know, I think about it in terms of political candidates. We're entering that wonderful season where we're going to see a commercial every half hour about some political candidate for the next year. But they give speeches and there are debates. Why are they talking so much? Well, their hope is that they will reveal who they are to us. And we hope that their words match up who they actually are. But I believe the same is true with God. God's word reveals who he is. His written word reveals who he is. And his living word, Jesus Christ, reveals who he is. Jesus Christ is the exact expression of who God is. And we see in this passage that in the beginning was the Word. So he was living in the beginning. We're talking way back in Genesis. He didn't just come into being as a baby 2,000 years ago. He has always existed. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And what's the next line? The Word was God. Jesus is, in fact, God. This is the main point here of Christmas. God coming to His people. Jesus is God. The Word became flesh is what verse 14 says. And we're going to focus on that passage in 3 weeks. But the Word is God. And by the way, this really means that human beings can never say that job or what you're asking me to do is beneath me. Because Jesus, the creator of all things, became a little child. Therefore, following that example, we can never say that's too humbling for me, that's beneath me. Human beings can't say that anymore because of what God has done, because of His example. What else does this passage tell us? This passage tells us that Jesus is the giver of life. Now we say, doesn't the Bible say God created the heavens and the earth? This passage says that He created all things. Well, yes, that's because they're one and the same. He is the creator. And it's my understanding that the book of John is all about new life. Look at how the book starts. It starts with those three words, in the beginning. What other book of the Bible begins with those three words? Genesis. And what follows in the beginning in Genesis? God created. And we have a whole chapter worth of great stuff that was created. Stars and moon and sun and earth and mountains and the land and the oceans and the animals and human beings. Everything. It follows in that passage. In the beginning. What are the first words that are recorded about God in the book of Genesis? Let there be light. So here we have in this passage, light is mentioned. And it also mentions that Jesus is the creator. What is John trying to tell us here? What point is he trying to get through here? Is that there is new creation coming into the world. Jesus brings new life to the world. So that's the second part of the two questions that I asked you. The first question I ask is, who is Jesus? Jesus is God. He is the creator. Why does that matter to us? It matters that because He came to bring new life. He came to bring light to a dark world. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it to the full. And we see this happening in the Bible. We see people like Paul, whose name had originally been Saul, and he was out persecuting the church and screaming out murderous threats against the church and putting people in prison and having Christians executed. And then one day he met Jesus on the road to Damascus in the form of what? Light. Light. And all of a sudden Paul's life was transformed. Light always has to do with life in the Bible. Light and life. Light is a symbol for life in the Bible. Paul has a new life. He turns his life around, or God turned his life around. He begins to preach and teach and becomes the greatest missionary of the early church. A complete 180-degree turn. Why? Because Jesus is the giver of life. And He brings light to the darkness. He brings life to the dying world. So let's talk about this darkness for a minute, though. I mean, we're using metaphors and symbolism, and I want to make sure that you understand what they're symbolic of. In the Bible, darkness is often symbolic of evil and sin. We read in John 3:19, it says, light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. So you see that comparison between evil and darkness and sin. Darkness has to do with sin and all the consequences of sin. And what are the consequences of sin? One of the consequences of sin we see in the book of Genesis is death. The reason we die is because there's sin in the world, there's sin in our lives. That is why we die. But think of all the other consequences. Think about Adam and Eve in the garden. Here you have the perfect couple. And you might know some people that you look at and you say, that person, they're just the perfect couple. Well, Adam and Eve really were the perfect couple. They were completely sinless until they ate of the fruit that they were forbidden to eat from. And when they ate the fruit, what was the first thing they did? They hid. Why did they hide? God asked them. They were afraid. Fear entered the world when sin entered the world. Anxiety and stress entered the world when sin entered the world. Broken relationship with God entered the world when sin entered the world. This is all the darkness that's being talked about in this passage. This is the darkness of separation from God, the darkness of all the misery that goes along with our lives sometimes. Jesus is the light, though, that entered that world. Jesus' light exposes the darkness. And, you know, that's one of the things it says in John 3:20. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. People who are doing things that are wrong don't want to be told that what they're doing is wrong. Jesus came in to expose the darkness. Jesus came in and began to tell the Pharisees everything they were doing was wrong. They didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear that at all. Jesus leads us to truth and exposes the darkness, exposes evil, because he's the light of the world. Another thing that light does is it leads us to blessing. You know, I have to believe that the Jewish reader of this passage would have thought right back to the book of Exodus, where God led his people Israel through the wilderness at night as a pillar of fire. And that led them right to the promised land. Light leads to life. Light leads to blessing. Jesus will lead us to blessing. We don't need to enter into the darkness to experience blessing in life. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. A few years ago, I watched one of the Left Behind movies. And in one particular scene, you had the two Christian characters that were there, and they were scheming against the Antichrist in hopes that they would be successful in what they were doing. But in this one scene, this part really bothered me. They lied in order to deceive the Antichrist. And I'm thinking, if you're a child of the light of God, why do you need to lie? Why do you need to go into the darkness in order to receive blessing? Stay in the light. Follow Christ. In John 8:36, it says, "Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of the light." Why do we want to become children of the light? Because light wins. That's why. Light overcomes the darkness. Think about that. Think about if you have a flashlight or if you have a candle and you go into a dark room. The darkness can't put out the candle. Can't put out the flashlight. Instead, the light invades the darkness. The light has victory over the darkness. The light can't be defeated by the darkness. And the world tried to put out the light 2,000 years ago or so. The world said, "Oh, we want to get rid of this guy. We're going to kill him. We're going to put him in a tomb." And they did. You cannot kill the source of life. You cannot extinguish the light. He was in there from Friday afternoon to Sunday morning. But I love what the angel says on Sunday morning. It says, again, the angel appeared as lightning to those women. And he said to them, "He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." In another passage, the angel says, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is alive." This is how the light offers hope. And I want to ask you today a question. And the question is this: is there any darkness in your life? Is there stress or anxiety or fear or trouble? Is there pain or suffering or sorrow? Is there addiction? Are there habits that you're trying to break? Or sinful things going on in your life and you keep doing the same things and making the same mistakes over again? Or are you searching for the light? Are you searching for God? Are you searching for hope, but you just can't seem to find your way in life? This is what darkness is all about. My answer to all those questions is turn to the light. Turn to Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that if you turn to Christ, you'll never have another problem again. Because Jesus promises us, he says, in this world you will have trouble. But, he says, take heart, I have overcome the world. You put your faith in Christ, it doesn't mean all the trouble will go away. It means that you will have an ability to deal with the trouble in your life, and you will have victory over it, and there will come a day when all the trouble will be gone, and you'll be with the Lord face to face, and there will be no darkness at all. Turn to Christ. And not even death, not even the fear of death can overcome this. I want to read to you today some statements made by people who were facing death throughout history, Christians. Richard Baxter, pastor who lived about 400 years ago, on his deathbed, cried out, "I have pain. but I have peace. I have peace. Adoniram Judson, looking ahead to his death, he was a famous missionary to Burma. He said, I'm not tired of my work, neither am I tired of the world, yet when Christ calls me home, I shall go with the gladness of a boy bounding away from school. Might hit home a little bit. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, pastor in Nazi Germany, spoke out against what Hitler was doing and as a result was arrested, sent to a concentration camp. And he was leading a prayer service in the concentration camp when two prison guards came to him and they said, come with us, which only meant one thing, the scaffold. That was it. That was going to be it. And it says that he said goodbye to his fellow prisoners and he said, for me, this is the beginning of a new life, eternal life. As Christians, not even death puts out the light. We have hope. You know, I think about what Paul says. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the point of our passage today, the point of what John is telling us is this. It's good that we have those other books of the Bible that tell us how Jesus came into the world as a baby. And they're wonderful God-inspired passages. But John's giving us a different angle, and he's saying this. He's more than just an ordinary baby. He's no mere baby. He has come to bring light to the world. And as I think about this, I'm reminded, and I hope you're reminded too, that our Savior, our Lord, is not a baby. He might have come into this world as a baby and taken on human form in that way, but my Savior is not a baby. He is the Lord of glory. He is the Son of righteousness. He is the bright morning star. He is the wonderful counselor, the Almighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the Creator. He is the Redeemer. He is the Author of life. And He is the Light of the world. And you know, sometimes in a sermon you come to the point of application, and sometimes I tell you this is what we need to do to apply this message to our lives. But sometimes the application to a message is just to say, praise the Lord. Praise God for who He is and for what He has done. Be joyful. And I want to talk to you just for a minute about that this morning as we come into this Christmas season. And someone brought it up in Sunday school this morning, but I've been thinking about it all week. As we come into Christmas and we see all the materialism and all the consumer stuff and all the distractions and this and that. And as Christians, sometimes it causes us to be frustrated, doesn't it? When we say, boy, they're just missing the point. And it causes us to get just a little bit angry about things. I can't believe they're doing that. I'm going to say something to you this morning, and I hope you take it to heart. Do not let the world rob you of your joy. Do not let the world take that away from you. Because we have a Lord who came into this world to die so that we can live. And that's what we celebrate during this Christmas time. And, you know, the world is going to do what the world wants. All our responsibility is just to be faithful. And you're not going to get the world to respond the way you want the world to respond. But you can control how you respond. And what is our response to what we have heard and read today? Our response is to praise. Our response is to be joyful. Our response is to give thanks. Our response is to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ for what He has done. That is our response. Do not let the world rob you of your joy this Christmas season. Don't let them take that away from you. Fight for joy. And how do you fight for joy? You fight for joy by praising Him. Praising Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world and who brought life to a dying world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the day. We thank You for the day that You came into the world. We thank You that You are the light of the world. And may You, Lord, we pray that You and You alone would be our focus for the coming weeks and for the rest of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.